And hello, everybody. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J right here on radio.dominican.edu. We are playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. All right, to start things off, here is Round and Round by Rat. I love these guys. Okay, enjoy. Just sit back and enjoy the music, everybody. Right here on radio.dominican.edu.
Time.
And that was Round and Round by Rat. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J, and we are playing some of your favorite music from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Today's featured band is going to be REO Speedwagon. Let me just tell you guys something. I love REO Speedwagon. Always have, always will, and I just hope to God that they keep playing that funky music. All right, I am going to be telling you a little bit about the group. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. We are playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So what can I say? Just keep your ears listening and let yourself have one major eargasm. All right, here's some history of the band REO Speedwagon. History. REO Speedwagon took its name from the REO Speedwagon, which was a flatbed truck and fire engine, which was manufactured by the REO Motor Car Company. And REO, the letter R, the letter E, and the letter O, are the initials of the company's founder, Ransom Eli Olds, who also founded Oldsmobile, which was once a division of General Motors. The REO Motor Car Company was not. I'm not sure if you guys remember Oldsmobile, but I do. My grandma used to have one. It was a Cutlass. Okay, so REO Speedwagon was formed by students that were attending the University of Illinois in Champaign, Illinois, in the fall of 1967 to play cover songs in campus bars. The first lineup consisted of Alan Gratzer on drums and vocals. He's personally my favorite drummer from the group. Neil Dowdy on keyboards, Joe Matt on guitar and vocals, and Mike Blair on bass and vocals. In the spring of 1968, Terry Luttrell became the lead singer, and Bob Crownover and Greg Philbin replaced Matt and Blair. Joe McCabe played sax at this time until moving to Southern Illinois University. Bob Crownover played guitar for the group until the summer of 1969 when Bill Fiorio replaced him. Fiorio then departed in late 1969, eventually assuming the name Duke Tumato, and went on to form the All-Star Frogs. I have no idea why he changed his name, but okay. Another guitarist, Steve Scorfina, came aboard briefly, but he was replaced by Gary Richrath in late 1970. And personally, Gary Richrath is my favorite guitarist from the group. He and Alan Gratzer are no longer members, unfortunately. Anyway, Richrath was a Peoria, Illinois-based guitar player and a prolific songwriter who brought original material to the band, including REO's signature song, Riding the Storm Out. With Richrath on board, the regional popularity of the band grew tremendously. The Midwestern United States was the original REO Speedwagon fan stronghold and is pivotal in this period of the band's history. The band signed to Epic Records in 1971. Paul Leka, an East Coast record producer, brought the band to his recording studio in Bridgeport, Connecticut, where it recorded original material for its first album. The lineup on the first album consisted of Gary Richrath, Alan Gratzer, Neil Doty. Greg Philbin and Terry Luttrell. All right, I'm going to play Don't Let Him Go, and next, after our little music break, I'm going to be talking about the band's early years once they formed. All right, here's Don't Let Him Go by REO Speedwagon off of their 1980 album, High Infidelity.
Yeah.
That was Don't Let Him Go by REO Speedwagon. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. That was a 1980 to 1981 favorite, right here on radio.dominican.edu. All right. Right now, I'm going to talk to you about the early years of REO Speedwagon. With their equipment being halted to dates in a friend's station wagon, REO played bars and clubs all over the Midwest. The band's debut album, REO Speedwagon, which was their self-titled debut album, was released on Epic Records in 1971. The most popular track on this avenue was 157 Riverside Avenue. The title refers to the Westport, Connecticut address, where the band stayed while recording in Lika's studio in nearby Bridgeport, and it remains an in-concert favorite. Although the rest of the band's lineup remained stable, REO Speedwagon switched lead vocalists three times for their first three albums. Latrell left the band in early 1972, eventually becoming the vocalist for the band Starcastle. He was replaced by Kevin Cronin, who is still the lead singer today, and is personally my favorite lead vocalist of REO Speedwagon. Cronin recorded one album with the band, 1972's REOTWO. But he left the band shortly after, though not for long, during the recording sessions for 1973's Ride in the Storm Out because of internal conflicts. Ride in the Storm Out was completed with Michael Brian Murphy on lead vocal. Murphy stayed on for two more albums, Lost in a Dream and This Time We Mean It, before Cronin returned to the fold in January 1976 and recorded the album REO, which was released that same year. Cronin's return came after Greg X. Vols turned down the position for lead vocalist due to his commitment to Christianity. Greg X. Vols, if I'm saying that correctly, was another vocalist who was thinking about becoming the new lead singer for REO Speedwagon. Okay, moving forward. In 1977, REO convinced Epic Records that their strength was in their live performances. Amazingly, Epic agreed to let them produce their own record, Live, You Get What You Play For, which was REO Speedwagon's first live album. Live, You Get What You Play For, which was released in 1977, was certified platinum. In 1977, Greg Philbin was replaced with Bruce Hall to record You Can Tune a Piano, But You Can't Tune a Fish, which was released in 1978, which received FM radio airplay. The album was REO's first to make it to the top 40, peaking at number 29. The album sold over 2 million copies in the U.S., which led it to go to 2x platinum. In 1979, the band took a turn back to hard rock with the release of Nine Lives. All right. Here is some more REO Speedwagon coming up for you in just a minute. So, next up, I am going to be playing Tough Guys, which is also off their album High Infidelity. Now, it's not a very well-known song. However, the opening, as a lot of you can probably tell, was from the movie Little Rascals. Okay, here is Tough Guys by REO Speedwagon, right here on radio.dominican.edu. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J, and we are playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Sure, darling.
Say, Romeo, what about your promise to the Human Woman Haters Club?
I'm sorry, Spanky. I have to live my own life.
She brings them to their knees, 'cause she does it like the rock.
That was Tough Guys by REO Speedwagon off of their 1980 album High Infidelity, which recently celebrated its 30th anniversary. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I'm going to play another song for you, and then I am going to take what I like to call a little CNN news break. All right. Next up on our list of songs is Keep On Loving You, which is also off of their High Infidelity album, which was, by the way, the band's highest grossing album. And if you've heard it before, let me just tell you something. No wonder. I mean, that album, it is amazing. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. It is just a great album. I love it. I absolutely love it. All right. Here we go. Here is Keep On Loving You. But before I play it, I just want to say, I highly recommend that you watch the music video. I personally liked it. It features Kevin Cronin talking to a psychiatrist. It's about this girl that he recently met and, you know, is beginning to have feelings of affection for her, but he doesn't know who the woman is. It probably came to him in a dream or something like that, but that's the reason why he's getting help in the music video. So here is Keep On Loving You by REO Speedwagon, right here on radio.dominican.edu. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
You didn't listen.
And that was Keep On Loving You by REO Speedwagon off of their album High Infidelity. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J. We are playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s right here on radio.dominican.edu. All right, we're going to take a quick CNN news break. This story kind of hits me where I live. It has to do with corporal punishment of children. As many of you who lived back in the, I guess in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and probably even the 90s, maybe in the 50s as well, in 1979, Sweden was the first country to ban corporal punishment of children completely. All right, this story is pretty interesting. Ian Swanson was 5 when his family first moved from the United States to Umeå, a small university town in northern Sweden. It was the place where he made his first friends, where he learned to read, and where, like any kid, he was into absolutely everything. He occasionally got a spanking from his mother, or a swat on the rear, and a stern look from his dad, but he remembers one day when his kindergarten teacher, school principal, and a social worker came to their home. They worried Ian wasn't fitting in. They wanted to talk about the quote-quote abuse. Swanson remembers translating for his parents, who were still learning the language too. You have to understand, things are different here. In 1979, a few years before the Swanson family arrived, Sweden became the first country to ban physical punishment of children. Since then, 30 more countries have passed bans on corporal punishment at home, and even more have banned it in schools, according to the Global Initiative to End All Corporal Punishment of Children. Just last month, Togo confirmed to the United Nations Committee on the Right of the Child, on the Rights of the Child, that parts of its children's code are meant to ban physical punishment. No countries in North America ban physical punishment by parents, but there's a perennial debate about the line between discipline and abuse and who's allowed to administer it. It flattered again last week after millions watched a 7-minute YouTube video from 2004 that showed a Texas judge cursing at his teen daughter and beating her with a belt. I have to admit, that video, I believe, has gone on to become viral status. While there are laws against child abuse, it's legal in all 50 states for parents to hit their children, and for schools in 19 states to physically punish kids. About 80% of American parents said that they've hit their young children, and about 100,000 kids are paddled in U.S. schools every year, researchers say. Jesus Christ. Kids are still hit with hands, belts, switches, and paddles, says Elizabeth Gershoff, an associate professor of human development and Family Sciences at University of Texas, despite researchers that shows it doesn't model or teach behavior that parents are looking for. In fact, it even damages trust between parent and children, and that it can lead to increased aggression. You know what? I cannot agree more. I mean, seriously, people. I mean, hitting your kids is not right. Personally, I believe it just makes the situation worse. Sit down and talk to your kids. Don't be like, I'm angry at you and I'm going to take it out on you. Hitting your kids, that's just plain barbaric. I mean, you're supposed to love your kids, not hit them. I mean, where did people get the idea that it was okay to hit anybody? I mean, would you just walk up to a random guy on the street and slug him across the face? No, I wouldn't. So why hit your own pride and joy? Why hit your own pride and joy? I mean, I'm not allowed to curse on the airwaves, so I'm just going to say this. Parents who hit their kids, honestly, they just tick me off. And you know what? How would you feel if you got hit? Huh? Maybe you got hit when you were a kid. Well, remember those times and how you hated it? Well, try ending the cycle of abuse, okay? Don't hit your kids. It ain't right. It's barbaric. And you know what? If you do and you don't take heed to my words, Screw you. Okay, on a lighter note, I'm going to play some more music from REO Speedwagon. Sorry, I lost it there for a little bit. My emotions can sometimes have a mind of their own if I'm not careful. All right. Here is one of my favorite songs by REO Speedwagon. It is a single off of their album, High Infidelity. It's Take It on the Run. All right. Here we go. Take It on the Run by REO Speedwagon, right here on radio.dominican.edu. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around. They say you got a boyfriend. You're out late every weekend. They're talking about you and it's bringing me down. But I know the neighborhood. And talk is cheap when the story is good. And the tales grow taller. Take it on the run, baby. If that's the way you want it, baby, then I don't want you around. I don't believe it, not for a minute. You're under the gun, so you take it on the run. You're thinking up your white lies. You're putting on your bedroom eyes. You say you're coming home, but you won't say when. But I can feel it coming. If you leave tonight, keep running. And you need never look back again. You take it on the run.
And that was Take It on the Run by REO Speedwagon. This is Funk It Up with Dr. J playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s right here on radio.dominican.edu. All right, now I'm going to talk a little bit about REO Speedwagon's mainstream success. The stage was now set for the band's most popular era, which is the time period for a lot of the songs that I've been playing for you currently. In the fall of 1980, REO Speedwagon released High Infidelity, which represented a change in the music from hard rock to a more pop-oriented material. High Infidelity spawned four hit singles written by Rich Rath and Cronin, including the number one song, Keep On Lovin' You, which I played for you recently, and the number five, Take It On the Run, which Rich Rath wrote and which I played for you just now. Honestly, I think Take It On the Run is one of my most favorite REO Speedwagon songs, if not my favorite. In Your Letter reached number 20 and was also written by Rich Rath, and Don't Let Him Go, which I played for you as the first song on tonight's show, was released, made it to number 24, and was written by Cronin. And it remained on the charts for 65 weeks, 32 of which were spent in the top 10, including 15 weeks atop the Billboard 200. High Infidelity sold over 10 million copies and set the bar for rock bands across the country. Good Trouble, which was released in 1982, and Wheels Are Turning, which included the song Can't Fight This Feeling, which I'm going to be playing for you next, which was released in 1984, were follow-up albums which did well commercially, the former containing the hit singles Keep the Fire Burning, Sweet, which made it to number 7 on the U.S. charts, Sweet Time, which made it to number 26 on the U.S. charts, and the unranked The Key, and the latter containing the number 1 hit single Can't Fight This Feeling, which went on to win a Grammy in 1985. Plus three more hits. I Do Want to Know, which made it to number 29 in the U.S. One Lonely Night, which made it to number 19 in the U.S. Live Every Moment, which made it to number 34 in the U.S. And the unranked Break His Spell. On July 13, 1985, the band made a stop in Philadelphia en route to a show in Milwaukee to play at the U.S. leg of Live Aid, which broke a record for a number of viewers. They performed Can't Fight This Feeling and Roll With The Changes, which featured members of the Beach Boys, the REO Speedwagon band members' families, and Paul Schaefer on stage for backing vocals. Unfortunately, 1987's Life As We Know It saw a decline in sales, but still managed to provide the band with the hits That Ain't Love, which made it to number 16 on the U.S. charts, and In My Dreams, which made it to number 19 on the U.S. charts. All right, up next is Can't Fight This Feeling by REO Speedwagon right here on radio.dominican.edu. Man, I love this power ballad. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the music right here on radio.dominican.edu. that was Can't Fight This Feeling by REO Speedwagon. All right, this is Funk It Up with Dr. J playing some of your favorite rock hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. All right, I only have a few minutes left, but I'll get through the rest of my show before letting J Lit and Special K take over for the blackout. All right, next up, as much as I hate to say it, REO Speedwagon began to experience declining popularity. By the end of the 1980s, the band's popularity was waning. In September 1988, Gratzer retired, and in early 1989, Rich Rath was asked to leave over disagreements with Cronin regarding musical direction. Cronin had been playing in a jazz ensemble called the Strolling Dudes with jazz trumpet player Rick Brown, or Braun. However you pronounce it, Miles Joseph on lead guitar and Graham Lear on drums. Lear was invited to join REO to replace Gratzer, and Joseph was brought in as a temporary guitarist. Backup singers Carla Day and Melanie Jackson were also added in 1989 to boost the group's vocal sound on stage. This lineup did only one show in Viña del Mar, Chile, winning the award for Best Group at the city's annual International Song Festival. After that, Miles Joseph and the backup singers were dropped in favor of former Ted Nugent guitarist Dave Amato and songwriter-producer-keyboardist Jesse Harms, who worked with Eddie Money and Sammy Hagar. Ted Nugent, Eddie Money, and Sammy Hagar. Listen to those guys. Really good. Also recommend David Lee Roth. Gratzer moved to California to open a restaurant, then moved into the mountains. He is currently active on in his community and is an advocate of the Big Brothers Big Sisters Foundation. The 1990 release The Earth, A Small Man, His Dog, and a Chicken with Brian Hitt, formerly of Wang Chung, Everybody Have Fun Tonight, replacing Graham Lear on drums, Dave Amato debuting on lead guitar, and songwriter-keyboardist Jesse Harms, was unfortunately a commercial disappointment. The album produced only one, and at this time, the last Billboard Hot 100 single, Love is a Rock, at number 66. Harms was disillusioned with the band, and his tenure in the group ended in early 1991. Shortly after his departure, Rich Rath assembled former members of the Midwestern band Vancouver to form a namesake band, Rich Rath. After touring for several years, the Rich Rath band released Only the Strong Survive in 1992 on the GMP Crescendo label. Rich Rath continued to perform for several years before disbanding in the late 1990s. In the meantime, REO Speedwagon lost their recording contract with Epic, unfortunately, and ended up releasing Building the Bridge in 1996 on the Priority Rhythm Safari label. When that label went bankrupt, the album was released on the ill-fated Castle Records, which also experienced financial troubles. REO Speedwagon ultimately self-financed this effort, which failed to chart. God, that's depressing to read. Self-financed and it failed to chart? Might as well not even tried. Oh well, you have sympathy with me, REO. You've got a fan here in the Bay Area. Revival of the Hits. There was a revival of the hits, though. The commercial failure of the band's newer material with its revised lineup demanded a change in marketing strategy. As a consequence, Epic began re-releasing recordings from older albums with updated artwork and design. From 1995 to the present, the label released over a dozen compilation albums featuring greatest hits, including 1999's The Ballads. In 2000, REO teamed up with Styx, a band whom I'm going to be playing for you next week, for an appearance at Riverport Amphitheater in St. Louis, Missouri, which was released as a live concert video, Arc Allies, live at Riverport. The REO portion of the show was released again under three separate titles, Live plus 2001, Live plus 3, 2001, and Extended Versions, which was released in 2001 as well, which was certified gold by the RIAA on 4/26/2006. REO once again teamed up with Styx in 2003 for the Classic Rock's main event tour, which also included Journey. In 2008, they teamed up with Styx and Def Leppard for another major tour headlined by Def Leppard to promote its latest album. I wish I could play you some Def Leppard music, but unfortunately, I can't find them on iTunes. Well, we're almost out of time. I wish I could play two more songs for you, Roll with the Changes and Time for Me to Fly, which is released off of their 1997 album, You Can Tune a Piano, but You Can't Tune a Fish. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, so I'm going to just finish up before letting J-Lit and Special K of the Blackout take over. So, some current news of REO Speedwagon. The band released a self-financed album entitled Find Your Own Way Home in April 2007. Though it did not chart as an album, it produced two singles which appeared on Billboard's Adult Contemporary radio chart. REO Speedwagon continues to tour regularly, performing mostly their classic hits. They are popular on the fair and casino circuits, but still team up with other acts to play large venues. They teamed up with Styx to record a new single entitled Can't Stop Rockin', which was released in March of 2009, as well as for a full tour that included a special guest, 38 Special. In November 2009, REO Speedwagon released a Christmas album, Not So Silent Night, Christmas with REO Speedwagon. On December 2nd, 2009, REO Speedwagon released an online video game, I didn't know this, Find Your Own Way Home, produced by digital design agency Curious Sense. The game was the first downloadable casual game produced with a rock band and was cited by numerous publications including the New York Times as an innovative marketing product for a music act. REO Speedwagon headlined on the M&I Classic Rock stage at the Milwaukee Summerfest on June 30, 2011, playing a number of their classic hits. This being High Infidelity's 30th album, 30th anniversary, as well as some other material. Let me just say, I went to go see REO Speedwagon at the California State Fair over the summer. Since it was High Infidelity's 30th anniversary, they played a number of their classic hits, including all of the songs on the High Infidelity album. Let me just tell you guys, I love that group. That group is one of the best groups on the face of this planet, despite a decline in popularity, and my friends over here, J-Lit and Special K of the Blackout, agree with me.
Hell yeah! Yeah!
All right, well, let me just tell you right now, I am wearing my REO Speedwagon t-shirt right now, and let me just tell you guys something. Listen to REO Speedwagon, keep their memory alive, just go onto YouTube and just listen to them, because they... Okay, pardon my French. They just plain kick ass. All right, you guys. I'm afraid I'm almost out of time, but what else can I say? Just keep the music inside you and peace out, my friends. This has been another recording of Funk It Up with Dr. J. I am playing some of the best rock music from the 70s, 80s, and 90s right here on radio.dominican.edu. So until next week, see you all later. Peace out. My mind,